Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023. That's right, 2023. Hard to believe, isn't it? My 74 Vega, Chevy Vega, is out getting tuned right now. 2023. A lot of news to get into, a lot of information, of course. Yesterday, the news that is like capturing everyone's attention, and I get it, because since 1971 there were five medical incidents like of this, nearing this severity. One in 71 that was nearly equal in severity, and the rest nearing this, to last night's Bills versus Bengals game. And of course there we saw DeMar Hamlin collapse on the field and die, essentially. No pulse, no respirations. They did CPR on him. They used the AED, the mobile defibrillators, on him. And just a couple of things about this, okay? People took to Twitter last night saying, my goodness, you know, I mean, how horrible this is. Now, this is a human being. This is a living human being. And here's the play on the screen if you haven't seen this. What this shows, obviously, he takes a helmet to the chin and chest area, gets up. He's standing up for, I don't know, maybe 2-3 seconds, and then collapses backwards without a pulse and no respiration. There it is. He's number three on the screen. Okay, and again, look, we're talking about somebody's child, perhaps someone's husband, someone's father, so we have to be very careful before we have to be careful, okay? And we have to be empathetic. Horrible. I having lost family members, close family members, my mom, my dad, of course, my son, but other family members as well, by different means, modes, some suddenly, some after sickness, some unexpected. You know, we have to realize what we're dealing with here. Again, dealing with people, but the bigger picture. This is a fight, folks. This is a fight between good and evil. I will put a period right there. We're witnessing a fight like we've never seen before, that being that good versus evil. We're seeing it manifest right before our very eyes. There will be people who will deny it, who will say, no, it's life as usual, things happen. You know, it was 101 shot, and this is going around, okay? Look, I don't know what his medical condition is. I do know that according to, I checked this out myself. According to the information I received from NFL/Buffalo Bills schedule, that player was received a booster shot 2.5 weeks ago, roughly, approximately 2.5 weeks ago. Now, how can I know this? Because that's HIPAA protected. There was a mass schedule. There was a scheduling of others involved in that. Okay, so did he get it? Look, I don't know. I wasn't there. There will be people who are coming out and saying, the only difference here is the injection. Well, again, five incidents, very rare since 1971 in the NFL arena. And of course, you've got more in hockey, more in baseball and such. But now people are coming out and saying, well, some doctors are saying, well, you know, if the, and listen to me carefully, because again, this is important, because we don't know. We really don't know yet. Understand this. This is speculation. When somebody gets hit in the chest at if you've ever seen an EKG, and if you've lived long, as long as I have, you've seen the EKG readouts, okay? You've got P, R, I think, I'm trying to remember the waves, P, R, O, S, T waves. Okay, anyway, it looks, a full beat of the heart is like a jump up and down, and like a little hump, jump up, jump down, hump, roughly, okay? And if you get hit in the chest in the right spot at the right velocity by an object or person or fist or whatever it might be, there is a chance that you could stop the heart. It's the theory the same way you can start a heart too. Okay. Now, again, I have to say that because that does happen. That's happened in hockey. It's happened in baseball. Generally speaking, younger children, because when you're young, you don't have that. I'm not a doctor, okay, but I've heard enough doctors in my life. I'm just relaying this information. So when you're young, 15, 16, your bones are still growing and such. Your chest wall is not as thick as you are when you get to be my archaic age, you know, my arcane age or Eric's age, whatever. But so there's a better chance of something like that happening where you hit just at the right time, the right spot, the right everything. It stops your heart. There are a lot of arguments. I see people saying, well, this is what happened. Doctors saying this is what happened. We shut up because we don't know what happened. But here's what we do know. Here is what we do know. We know that we're seeing a lot of sudden adult death, a lot of heart-related deaths, with or without blows to the chest. An abnormal number. You can say, oh, that's BS. No. You can hide all you want. We're seeing a bigger number. Now, the question is, and I believe this is the only question is this an oops from the manufacturers of the jab juice, or is this, well, this is what we want, or is this even when in the oops department, is this, well, you know, we figured this was going to happen. Again, if I have to convince you which one that is, I don't know what to tell you, except to say, wake up. Because we're seeing a lot more of this. The older people who have received these injections and boosters and such have heart-related issues, have clots and stuff. We talk about this every single day. I'm gonna put that on hold for a minute, because with this, in conjunction with this, 2023 is going to be a year of acceleration of evil. I referenced this yesterday, and that's kind of where we're at. We're going to see evil accelerate. But here's the other side of that, which I didn't talk about yesterday. I'm going to talk about now, is you're going to see an acceleration of patriotism. You're going to see an acceleration of people who are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm just a guy. But our true salvation is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get out of this what we're in, okay? That's the only answer to this. So while that's the only answer, you still have to recognize evil. You still have to identify the enemies. We are told to occupy until he comes. Now, that occupying doesn't mean sitting on your rump in your den watching TV, watching Netflix. That's not what occupy means. Yeah, I'm occupying a residence. I'm occupying the... No, it means getting off your duff and talking to people about what we need to do for salvation, as well as saving this, our environment, our planet. No. Because people get the wrong idea. Saving our lifestyle or the standard of living that we grew up, in which we grew up, for our children and grandchildren. And I'm not talking about the crap that we've endured. You know, we've seen the porn and stuff like that. I'm talking about the good things in life. when you can take a walk down a street, a road in the countryside, when you can have a steak without all kinds of antibiotic or drugs in the steak, when you can have the things that we're used to having. Our children and our grandchildren deserve exactly that, don't they? When you can drive a gasoline car to wherever you want to go. In Oxford, England, they're talking about separating a city into six quadrants. You've probably seen the video where you can't get to one quadrant of the city without going outside of the quadrant that you're in and going around and coming back in. And it's all about carbon footprint taxation and crap. And it's a bunch of BS and it's coming in the United States. If you haven't seen that video, it's out there. You'll find it. You can look for it. Just type in, I think it's... who is it? Katie Hopkins, I think, was talking about that on one of the social networks. You can find it. But see, all of this is coming in the United States, and our children don't deserve this. Our grandchildren don't deserve this. So we have to fight back. That's my point. We're fighting back. But see, they're laughing at us. And when I say they're laughing at us, they're literally laughing at us. Did you see this? We know what happened in Arizona. We know that the Arizona election was totally rigged. Yeah, it was rigged using machines. The Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, in my view, are all criminals. Are all treasonous bastards, in my personal opinion. But Carrie Lake lost that election as governor. Katie Hobbs, of course, got sworn in this week. Let's take a look. When I say they're all laughing at us, and you might say, well, he's just saying that. Let's take a look at this. You know what? There's nothing I can say good that won't be censored. This person, Katie Hobbs, taking her oath of office. Now watch and listen carefully. This is all going to be in the program description notes. Go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Two ends on Hagman. Here is video one.
Kathleen Kirby Hobbs, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution. Stop it,
Bob. Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Eric just said YouTube. Did you hear what she did? She, to support the Constitution, she couldn't get that out of her mouth. She was laughing, and people will make excuses for her and say, well, her mom was there and made her laugh and this and that. What a bunch of crap. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at me while they steal and plunder our wealth that we have, whatever point you might be at. When I say wealth, I'm talking about your possessions, while they plunder you, they're laughing. Can we play that again? Is that okay? Can we? Because I really, look at the hubris behind this. Don't take this, do not underestimate this. Don't take this as, oh, this is just something like a one-off thing. They are laughing at you. They stole the election. And you know, isn't it funny that she was the one that certified the election for her own position? Yeah, that's America today, right? Nothing to see here. Everything is fine. Go ahead and just play that one more time.
Kathleen Kirby Hobbs, do solemnly swear. Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution. Stop it.
Yeah. See this? A listener sent this to me. God bless you. Home is where the dog is. That's why I love dogs as opposed to people. Detective's Choice Coffee. Ground, medium grind, okay, through a grinder, French press, the best. All right, Detective's Choice. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link. Buy some coffee. Okay. In addition to everything that's going on right now, we've got to fight for the Speaker of the House. You know that, right? That witch, Nancy Pelosi. And somebody threw a glass of water on her, and she kind of just went away. She just kind of melted away. Now the House speakership on the Republican side is up for grabs. There's a lot of chicanery going on with this House speakership. Kevin McCarthy, of course, is the odds-on favorite to get it, but he's selling us out. I'm just telling you right now, as this is being, as this program is being done, you know what? Don't trust any politician, Republican, Democrat. Don't trust them. I would trust maybe three, four people there. Maybe. When I say trust, trust but verify. Maybe three or four. McCarthy is pretty much a rhino, as they all are. And they're all taking this country down this communist path. All right. I'm going to show you this. This is so important. You think back to if you were alive and aware back in the day, the 72 era, 73 actually, not, what am I thinking? 73, 74. Remember Watergate? By the way, Watergate was not what you think it was about. Watergate had nothing to do with, well, I don't want to go off on a rabbit hole, but Watergate, fascinating, not what you think it was about. That was a takedown, specifically of Nixon, but I digress. I want to show this to you. I'm not sure I can do justice to this in the order in which I have it. Eric the Tech can help me out here. By the way, Eric likes those comments on the YouTube, on the Rumble channel. By the way, subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon. Leave a comment on Rumble or Brighteon. Eric likes the comments about him. A man of few words. Stealth-like. Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah, you got your own fan club going. I don't know what you got going, but he's got something going. I can feel it. All right. And by the way, Roger Stone. Roger, hey, you issued your list of best dressed and worst dressed for 2022. I wasn't on the best dressed. Come on, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Look, huh? Specific type? Never mind. All right. Bannon, of course, is on the worst dressed. I'm not going to get into that. Okay. This is something that's going on right now that has to do with Epstein Island, has to do with Epstein's little black book, has to do with the current power structure with Biden. It kind of draws everything together. And you know, and I've said this before, children, the blood of children, and specifically children, is the currency of the globalists. Now, I want you to really think about this. Human trafficking and children and the blood of children, currency of the globalists. Keep that in the back of your mind as you look at this. And also, think about our economic system, the fraud system that we have since the Federal Reserve came about. And think about, you know, even back into the 1800s, how Andrew Jackson fought the central banking system. And think about where these monsters want to take us now into this digital currency, the central banking digital currency. All right, so who's going to implement this? The banks will. The Federal Reserve will. What is this tied to? When you look at the power structure, when you consider people like Sam Bankman-Fried, okay, that little young, you know, snot-nosed kid with the stained T-shirt, and then you go to people like the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and all the usual suspects. You know who I'm talking about, right? They run in a different crowd. Now you've got Biden, of course, sitting or allegedly running the country, the United States, allegedly, I say. And you've got Hunter Biden, of course. Long history of Hunter Biden, disclosed this one in the Wisconsin Christian News, wrote many columns about this, about Hunter Biden's laptop, the fact that he's involved in energy and you know, he was involved in Ukraine and China and Russia even. So was Biden. That's the story. Biden was too. Okay, let's go. And again, this is going to be kind of hard to follow. I'm going to do my best to explain this. If we go to page one, put page one on the screen, if you don't mind. This is, again, you can find all of this in the show notes at HagmanReport.com. All right. This is perhaps one of the most important stories that you will find. U.S. Virgin Islands Attorney General, who filed a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase over Epstein crimes, has been terminated. Okay, U.S. Virgin Islands Attorney General, who filed a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase over Epstein crimes, has been terminated. Now, this is, you can find this again, the link to this at HagmanReport.com, but you can also find this in the at Conservative Treehouse. This was published yesterday. And please pay attention to this. After successfully settling a $105 million lawsuit against the estate of Jeffrey Epstein. This is last month now. U.S. Virgin Islands Attorney General Denise George filed a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase, saying that the bank knowingly provided and pulled the levers through which recruiters and victims were paid. Now think about the scope of that statement. Knowingly provided. Okay. That earned her not a badge of honor, not an attaboy or attagirl, but she was terminated on Saturday. She served for 4 years with the Bryan administration. Now, the decision by the Virgin Islands governor, Albert Bryan, to fire the AG just came days after the Bloomberg News revealed that Ms. George, in her capacity as AG there, filed a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase, the largest bank in the United States and the world's largest bank by market capitalization. But she didn't inform Bryan of such a major action. Okay. The system of justice, the Department of Justice, the system of justice is set up the same way is the United States, okay, in the Virgin Islands. She really doesn't have to. But this attorney accused the bank of J.P. Morgan Chase, accused J.P. Morgan Chase of turning a blind eye to sex trafficking operations that went on Epstein's private island in the Virgin Islands, Little St. James, of course. Now, asked in this story, let's see here. Where do you have that? Okay, perfect. You got it right there. Here is the money question. AG George is fired from her position after filing a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan. Where did Joe Biden go on vacation? The U.S. Virgin Islands. That's right above the backstory. There it is, right there. You can see it. Interesting, no? Now, let's cut away from this for a moment, because where have I heard this before? Look, maybe this is unrelated, like that football play yesterday and the vaccine, the jab and, you know, heart problems. Maybe this is unrelated. Maybe I'm just seeing things. Where did I see this before? I know. Let's play video two. If we can. I didn't give you that.
And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
Yeah, put in place someone solid. We know how that goes. You see, as he's sitting there in front of the backdrop of the Council on Foreign Relations, they're laughing at us. You heard the laughter. Well, son of a beep. Yeah. You want the money? You're going to fire him as opposed to having him disclose all of our misdeeds, all of our crimes, all of our sex trafficking or whatever it might be. No, we can't have that. So fire him if you want the money. Boy, someone fly me down to the Virgin Islands. Let me do some investigating. You know what? I don't need to. I can do it. Actually, I can do it from here. In fact, you don't even have to investigate because the backstory is written for you. The Attorney General for the Virgin Islands, Denise George, has mapped out the money. You know, she followed the money. She mapped out the people, the places, the institutions, and all of that. She was building her cases and targeting the system that enabled Epstein. Oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. No. So they fired her. And again, there is nothing about justice here. You think you're going to get justice in the court system? That's why I talked yesterday about the Brunson case. Look, I love patriots. I love the effort. I love the fact that, you know, we can do this together. But if you think for one second that's got a chance in hell, man, I'm telling you what, I'll take the hopium that you're on because I want to believe. Help me believe. I want to believe. But I can't at this point. I can't. There's no, I cannot. And let me clarify something about the Brunson case, okay? Just because something is on the docket, scheduled for conference, does not mean they're even going to talk about it. It doesn't even mean that they know about it. Now, the clerks might know about it. The clerks know about it. They're supposed to know about it, but it doesn't mean they do. And again, one more time about the Brunson case. I hate to, you know, retread old ground, but I want to tell you this. Just because you have a clerk for the Supreme Court calling the plaintiff and saying, hey, how soon can you get this to us? Can you do this? Can you put it on this paper? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Because they're pro se, they're acting on their own behalf. It's not unusual. There's nothing unusual about that. Courts do it all the time. And as Robert Barnes said yesterday, it fails as a matter of law. It fails on its merits, actually. But I don't know the people involved in this. I don't know. I thank them. I really think their heart's in the right place, as is ours, but I'm not seeing where this is going to work, where anything is going to work. Okay. Because you saw, of course, Hobbs laughing, you know, you swear on the Constitution. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, you can explain that all day long. You can explain it or try to explain it away all day long. It's not right. Biden in front of the CFR saying I had him fired and people laughing. You explain that all day. You try to explain that. But this is big. This is important because, again, the Epstein, I remember what I said, the currency of the globalists in Epstein Island, Epstein is one of the epicenters of that. by the way, this that Epstein Island and Epstein, you talk about an intelligence operation to its fullest. That's exactly what it is. All right, before moving on, and I do have a lot more to get into, I want to thank the fine folks at Honey. I'm going to tell you, honey.com, honey, let me start again. That's right. I want to thank the fine folks at Honey. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. That's right. You know, I feel awful, really great when I find a good deal on something. It really does. It makes me feel good. If I'm out shopping, and this is a true story. Okay, Eric and I need something that we both use here in the studio. No, not that, Eric. No, I'm kidding. But and we're shopping for it online. And we're using Honey. And yes, we're right now we are purchasing, making this purchase. In fact, it's a critical part of the infrastructure in order for us to prepare the shows. But we're able to get this through online, through one of the stores online. And we're able to save money right now by using Honey. Thanks to Honey, we don't have to search for coupon codes. That's a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Now, just imagine, it's really simple how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Bada bing, bada bang, you're a happy camper. After a few seconds, as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site, if it finds a working coupon, you can watch the prices drop, and you can thank yourself. Well, actually, you can thank Honey, and thank me, too. It saved us money on food delivery services, on products for the studio, on products for the office, and even at our homes. Eric the Tech's got it on the smartphone. My daughter, my wife have it. And of course, I use it by proxy through them as well. And I have to say this, it's very easy to use. Honey just doesn't work on desktops. It works on your iPhone too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save while you're on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. Get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That is joinhoney.com/Hagman. Link will be in the program description box. joinhoney.com/Hagman too. It's on Hagman. You'll thank me later. All right. Now, again, they're laughing at us. They're laughing at us in all sides. Of course, as I'm looking down here, I'm looking at this enormous fight for the speakership of the Speaker of the House. You've got Kevin McCarthy, and perhaps by the time you see this or hear this broadcast, that this will all be settled. Look, you need 218 Republican votes or Democrat votes based on the Republican votes, to get anything done, essentially. Right now, it looks, I can't predict this, but I see a lot of infighting. And the infighting is the Republicans in name only, of course, who are siding with the leftists, who are in bed with the communists, who are in bed with the globalists, who are the minions of the globalists. This is what's taking place right now as we speak. And this is why I said I don't trust anybody. As we see things move on, and again, the big news seems to be making the rounds today was, of course, very sadly, the hit by collapse of Damar Hamlin yesterday in the Bills-Bengals game. Everyone's talking about this. I want to get back to the Epstein issue in a moment, but I want to flop back to the Bills game as well. And there's a reason I'm doing this, okay? Because I want to end this by attempting to tie the depopulation agenda of the globalists to the trafficking to the banking, to the digital currency, to the intelligence agencies here in the United States and globally. I want to try to tie all of this together. That's why I'm kind of jumping around a little bit. And forgive me if you don't like that. If you can bring Dr. McCullough's this page from Citizens of Free Press, Kane, thank you. This is very interesting. This Dr. McCullough's response to what happened yesterday. This is from Citizens Free Press. This apparently doesn't have a page number, so sorry about that. And of course, this is breaking. This was last night. Dr. McCullough just wrote. Now, let me see. I'm going to pull this up on my end here. Hang on a minute. Okay, there we go. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Dr. Peter McCullough just wrote at 7:54 p.m. I watched the play live, both as a fan and a cardiologist, and I saw blunt neck and chest trauma, a brief recovery after the tackle, and then classic cardiac arrest. Now, I'm not going to opine at all. I'm just going to read this. I've communicated to one of the most experienced trainers in the world, and we... we were stuck. Eric was stuck on the... this happens. We agree that it was cardiac arrest in the setting of a big surge of adrenaline. If Damar Hanlon indeed took one of the COVID-19 vaccines, I'm quoting, folks, okay, I'm quoting, then subclinical vaccine-induced myocarditis must be considered in the differential diagnosis. What's a differential diagnosis? It means we got to find out. We don't know what the hell's going on. We don't know what the diagnosis is. We have been told that he was successfully defibbed on the field, you know, using the paddles, and has been intubated and is not spontaneously breathing, which is consistent with anoxic encephalopathy. Yeah, that word right there. Encephalopathy. Whatever that word is. The nation prays for his complete recovery, as we do as well. Now, let's continue with this, because again, this is connected to what's going on in the larger sense, I believe. Now, I'm going to stop quoting here, but keep that up. If it is proved that the jab had anything to do with this, this might be the hinge moment where the people who are watching television, sitting on the couch, watching, you know, so enthused about the games, this might be a hinge moment where people get up and say, wait a minute, this is BS. In this article, note that McCullough originally speculated that the injury to the Buffalo Bills' safety, Damar Hamlin, was due to common cordis, or I'm sorry. I'm not going to read the Latin, okay?
Comitio
cordis. And this is what I was talking about earlier. That's a phenomenon in which a sudden blunt impact of the chest causes sudden death in the absence of cardiac damage. Basically, what that does is it interrupts the signal. And by the way, when you take the paddles, because I was involved in this back in the 70s, and believe me, okay, the equipment they had back then was nothing like it is now, but the paddles will make you straight line. The paddles are designed to, you put one on, the way they make them now, it's so easy. I mean, you're essentially walk through it, one on the kind of the front chest, one on the side back chest. It'll tell you, okay, it'll give you the readout, whether the person is in V-fib, which is this chaos, this heart's going every which way, you know, or asystole, which is a straight line, or if it's beating normally. That's what these paddles do, number one. Now, if it's in V-fib, which is beating everything, every which way. And Dr. Jim, you can feel free to tell me I'm wrong on this, but I think I got this, okay? you shock the patient, goes asystole briefly, and then it resumes normal sinus rhythm. Do I sound like I should be on the emergency or what was that? Or medical center or whatever show that's, never mind. So the thing is this, we are seeing athletes drop with and without chest trauma, with or without, you know, the seemingly rush of adrenaline and such. We're seeing athletes drop at an abnormal rate. People have got to start taking notice. Are people taking notice? On page 3, a remarkable survey, which I think is extremely important. Again, this all connects, it all ties together. Please bear with me on this. This poll from Rasmussen. I know how people feel about polls. 28% of Americans personally know someone who died from the jab. Now think about that. Almost one out of three Americans know somebody who died from the jab. According to a survey of 1,000 Americans, 28% of the polled respondents know someone personally who died from the side effects of COVID-19 vaccination. This is according to the article. That's the money statement right up front. That's what it is. Now, you can, again, this is from Conservative Treehouse. The link will be in the program description box. As you scroll down even further, there's a box there, and I'm not going to play this video, but public opinion, clear, :28% say vax is killer. There's Bannon, there's a physician, I'm not sure who that is exactly right at the moment, but nonetheless, the fact is, this is a depopulation agenda, and yes, they are laughing at you. Dr. Mitchell. Oh, he's a pollster. I'm sorry. He's not a physician. He's not a doctor. He could be a PhD. Okay, sorry. Thank you for that. Eric the Tech, you should just chime in. In fact, come on over here. Sit down. Grab a cup of coffee.
He's a pollster.
Grab a cup of coffee. Let's talk. You folks would like to have him on, wouldn't you? Like to have him sitting right there. People are waking up, and this is why we're in such a dangerous time. People are waking up right now, and that's why I'm saying the acceleration of evil is going to be the mantra for 23, because people are waking up, and when people wake up, they're going to rise up, and when they rise up, they've got to be put down, and who's going to try to put them down but the people in charge? That's why you've got Hobbs laughing. That's why you've got the AG of the Virgin Islands getting fired, because we can't look into those bad things. Oh, no, 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 no. We can't follow the money. We can't see the children being trafficked, even now, even today. We can't see the numbers behind the true numbers, as you know, behind the clot shots, the injecticide. You can't see all of that. So who's doing this? Who's doing all of this? Who's behind all of this? Perhaps one of the most incredible videos. This is the first 3 minutes of this video. You've got to listen to this, okay? The first 3 minutes of this video is Andrew Haynes. He's with the U.S. Intelligence, the ODNI. And then you've got his counterpart over in the U.K. Now, these are not two mopes from MSNBC or NBC or CBS or even Fox talking. No, no, no. These are two intelligence officers talking, where Haynes is actually interviewing his British counterpart within the Five Eyes. So the reason this is important, one of the reasons this is important, is this is a global initiative. You've got to think of this as a global initiative. The Five Eyes, the five intelligence agencies, but especially the United States and what is happening here with the United States. Go ahead and play video number, wait a minute. Yeah, this would be video number 4. U.S. Director of National Intelligence calls for, and this is important because this relates to everything I've talked about now, debunking or pre-bunking disinformation and censoring. What? Oh, yeah. Listen to this.
People in place and in power to take action. And so we watch as authoritarian states take advantage of that open information space and, you know, promote their own narratives and exacerbate divisions in our society. And I think this is something that, you know, is sort of a growing area for intelligence communities, as I watch so many of my kind of interlocutors begin to develop, you know, sort of offices and centers and so on, looking at foreign malign influence, as it's sometimes referred to, and, you know, and thinking about how do we manage this in our areas. And in the context of Russia, Ukraine, I thought it was really interesting. I learned certainly a lot of lessons through the experience, and among them was in this space. So we obviously tried to counter disinformation that the Russians were putting out. We saw that they were looking to create a pretext for the invasion, and we wanted to sort of debunk that and help people understand that this was a false narrative. And so by finding ways to declassify certain information while still trying to protect our sources and methods so we don't lose the access that is so critical to our work, you know, we were able to have an impact, in a sense, on the conversation about this. And yet, at the same time, what also is clear as you sort of look back at the situation is that our impact was far greater in the West than it was in other places in the world, right? So when it came to Russia, we had basically no impact. You know, the people of Russia had controlled information provided to them for the most part, very hard to penetrate, in effect. But we also saw, you know, you can sort of understand that in the Russia space, you recognize how much effort the Russian government, Putin, puts into controlling information in Russia. But what we also saw was that we were not that impactful in other countries that already had sort of taken on the narrative of what the Russians were pushing. And the Russians engage in a very concerted information campaign and around the world on these issues. And one of their main narratives is that the United States is provoking this conflict and that NATO and Ukraine are, you know, setting the conditions and threatening Russia, and that sort of forced them into this position. And in fact, when you are pushing out information to population that is already skeptical of you, it's much harder to gain traction in those scenarios. So we sort of, we recognize that we were able to have impact, I think, in countering disinformation, but that there were limits on what we were able to do and that we needed to understand that in order to really understand how we can counter this moving forward.
So let me pick up a few of those themes. I think I agree with the thrust of your argument there. The first thing around declassification of intelligence, as a 30-year intelligence professional, then this is quite hard in many ways. And I think our people find it quite hard. You've put a lot of effort into getting secret intelligence. But I always think there's no point collecting it unless you use it. The sea change we've seen during this conflict of getting the intelligence out there and using it to pre-bunk, to try and undermine that sort of narrative, I completely agree with that. But of course, it is also the case, as you've said, that for much of the world, they haven't completely bought into that side of the argument. And much as we know it to be truthful, there are different and counter narratives running.
All right, pause that for a second. Leave that up there. By the way, I made a mistake. That was Director of National Intelligence, or I'm sorry, that was not Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. However, what you're going to see here now is, there you go. Look at that eagle. That's us. Okay, what you're going to see now is the discussion about this from Natalie Winters with Steve Bannon, the fact that the DNI, Avril Haines, revealed the White House's vast efforts to debunk disinformation and false narratives, including about the Russia-Ukrainian war, while speaking with a leading British intelligence officer who called on Western intelligence agencies to pre-bunk disinformation and use alliances between big tech and the government to make people view government-backed narratives more with more trust. In other words, trust us, believe us. Don't laugh at us like we're laughing at you. These are stunning admissions that follow confirmation that the American intelligence agencies have been colluding with social media platforms to censor Americans. And it came during that interview right there on BBC Four's Today program, featuring Jeremy Fleming as guest host. My apologies. Fleming was guest host talking with, of course, the director of the government, Fleming, who's the director of the government communications headquarters, GCHQ, the UK's intelligence cybersecurity agency, also called on intelligence agencies to take more active role in countering disinformation. The links will be in the program description box, but if you can understand how absolutely stunningly important this is, because on the U.S. side, Haynes is involved in the Twitter, Facebook, Google, Alphabet, all of that as well. Okay, so go ahead and continue with the interview.
Natalie Winters, that is so jaw-dropping. They aren't even shy about it anymore. They're not even shy about it. These are not two MSNBC analysts. This is not two of the kind of the weirdos you see up on MSNBC or even CNN just talking smack all the time. This is the head of the senior guy, head of British intelligence, and Admiral Haynes talking about on BBC, and he's the interviewer, the pre-bunking. By the way, I'd like everybody, I was thinking as that's going on, David Halberstam, who wrote the best and the brightest about the debacle that became Vietnam, is rolling over in his grave to even listen to this. The New York Times and the Washington Post, all of you guys on the Pentagon paper, are you kidding me? Compare what we went through on the Pentagon Papers to get the Pentagon Papers out there. And think about what she just said in relation to the Pentagon Papers and even certain aspects of Watergate, Natalie Winters. I am gobsmacked about this interview and how brazen they are now. They're just up in your grill, ma'am.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone can come away from that interview and not really come to the conclusion that our intelligence agencies, not just here in the United States, but really in the West, have declared, I think, a full-blown information war on us. And just for context, the people speaking, that's DNI Admiral Haynes and the director of the Government Communications Headquarters, the GCHQ, over in the UK, which, like I said, is Britain's largest intelligence agency. So these are not just some random people. These are the people at the top of the food chain making the decisions about how intel is either used for purposes of, you know, pre-bunking and debunking and post-bunking misinformation, or that the federal government, you know, would not play a role in this kind of misinformation landscape. But I think it gets back to the central issue, which honestly, I think will be the biggest issue, not just of 2023, but going forward. But really is this fusion.
Okay. And if you can go back about 10 seconds, by the way, my apologies. My scorecards got mixed up. Okay. That was in fact, the clip that they're referencing, Anvil Haynes, ODNI, and the British equivalent. My apologies. Sometimes, you know what? Hey, I make mistakes. Leave me alone. Eric the Tech, that was uncalled for. Okay. You didn't have to throw that. He threw a dog's toy at me. All right. Continue with this. As I said, he backed it up about 10 seconds and listen to what she's got to say.
Or that the federal government, you know, would not play a role in this kind of misinformation landscape. But I think it gets back to the central issue, which honestly, I think will be the biggest issue, not just of 2023, but going forward. But really is this fusion between the public and the private sector and getting to determine what exactly constitutes misinformation. And I think what we're seeing really is a fundamental push from the intelligence agency, the intelligence community, which really is the backbone, is the spine of the administrative state, to really just do away with the First Amendment, to do away with freedom of speech. I wouldn't be surprised if they and the Democrats they control try to amend the First Amendment to put disinformation as a class of not, you know, speech that's not protected.
But because we can't get into a First Amendment, because this is, I even almost think they want to do it, so there's some marginal changes. The whole show today is of a whole cloth. Starting from Flynn, that's why I had Flynn on with that piece and the talk about the World Economic Forum in Ukraine, and then the Rasmussen poll and the Rasmussen information, given what we've said, the biomedical security state. Then Andy Biggs, the reason we're having this fight in the House, Natalie, you have to go after the administrative state hammer and tong now. It's not any marginal law that we can increase. This is not even about free speech. They're so brazen, they've tossed that aside. This is about their total and absolute control over you and what is the narrative and what the narratives you're going to sign up for. Look what she said about the Ukraine. Yes, there are open questions about the escalation, the escalatory policy of the regime that's in Washington, D.C. right now, and about Ukraine and the money laundering in Ukraine, everything about Ukraine, why we spent $100 billion. And they're sitting there right there. Yo, those are the ones we got to take care of out of the box. I think this is so much deeper than just First Amendment. The administrative state and its information war against the American people and free people everywhere. The Five Eyes program is what you told in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Great Britain. This is so fundamental. And this is why you're having this huge fight over Kevin McCarthy, because you have to go and take this. You have to. And he's promised. Remember, he's promised a joint select committee on going after the weaponization of government. He's promised that. And people are still saying that's not good enough because you don't have the stones to see it through to the end. That's what this is going to be about. That's why we had Flynn at the beginning. This is about understanding the problem, but understand how endemic it is, that this is just not some sort of, you know, marginal thing on some law we got to get passed or repeal the Patriot Act. It's so much deeper than that.
Put the right people.
All right. It is so much deeper than that. What Steve Bannon said there about all of this, this is bigger than the First Amendment. I mean, it involves the First Amendment, obviously, when you have government coming in to private corporations and censoring individuals about the very injections that perhaps that football player received that may have contributed to what happened with him last night. But yet, if that is not the case in this differential diagnosis, among others, okay, you still have to ask the questions, but we're not allowed to ask the questions. What I'm getting at is this. When you do ask the questions, what happens? You become who? You become the Attorney General who filed the lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase over Epstein crimes, and you get terminated if you're lucky. And if you're not lucky, you get terminated, you get censored, you get deplatformed if you are telling the truth. So, by the way, beware of people who are still on these platforms that, you know, like YouTube and such, who haven't been taken off. I'm just saying, I don't know what, but their secret is. I guess they got a pass. But here's the thing. All of this is connected. Where's this all coming from? It's coming from, as Steve Quayle says, the root of all evil that is ramping up for 23. And we, in our prayers and in our actions, must ramp up accordingly and fight back, because God would not want to see us not fight back against this. He would not want to see us not take care of our children, our grandchildren. He would not want to see us not take care of ourselves and say, no, this is enough. We are going to handle this. We put our trust in no man. Don't put your trust in any man, whether it's Kevin McCarthy on the Hill. Lord knows what's going to happen there. But the fact is, trust no man and act with righteousness, righteous indignation. There's nothing wrong with that. And make sure you fight the fight. And I was going to make some announcements today. I'm not going to do it today. The Hagman Report, I'm telling you right now, we are on track this year to make a difference in many areas in the United States. The contacts have been made. The contacts have been set up. You're going to hear about this soon. And we are pushing forward, moving forward. Eric the Tech, the outstanding man he is, along with myself and others who are helping this platform to move forward, to advance against the enemy, to expose them and to hold them legally accountable. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Make people like Katie Hobbs wish that she wouldn't have laughed about over that you know, stumbled over the Constitution part of the oath. To make people like Biden realize, hey, wait a second, maybe I went just a tad too far in selling out the United States, but getting not just at those low-hanging fruit mopes, but going after the root of the evil. And we intend to do that with your help and God's help. And God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day.